Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
But unfortunately, Alex Jones will no longer be heard, but you have a great guy over there, Josh Reeves. He's got a show from 11 to 3 Central Time. Go ahead and check it out. Call in. I'm going to be calling in. Give the guy some support, because I listened to the last two shows because I want to hear somebody other than Alex, and got to tell you, I was a little bit impressed. So, yeah, kudos to him. All right, going back to you, Louie.
Yes, sir.
I don't know where we actually. I don't know where we were, but let me go ahead and bring David up. How you doing, David?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Alex?
Doing well.
Yeah, great. I'm glad you took my call. I've been listening to your show for a couple of months now, at least maybe 5, 6, and you do a really good job. And I want to thank you for all the work you do, and your patience with Mo, especially, is really awesome. Anyways, I think the trick is finding out enough information for yourself to be able to pass it on to people you know in an intelligent, thoughtful way so that you maybe don't turn them off to it, but yet if something happens in the future, they know it's a false flag thing because they've heard it before.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, exactly. And knowing that, it gets easier to slow down a little bit and explain it a little simpler to them. Not demeaning, but you do got to really, like, slow it down because you're dealing with people that are on a totally different wavelength, and they're scared.
Exactly. You know, it's hard because I've moved way past 9/11, and a lot of people haven't even accepted that yet. So you want to tell them about all this other stuff, and then they can't even really think about 9/11 being an inside job. Yeah. So
right,
I think,
and you know what? If they don't accept 9/11 as an inside job, and again, I hearken back to this Ron Paul campaign, you can't sell the rest of his foreign policy, and all this stuff that's happening now makes no sense to them.
Exactly.
They don't see that as a false flag operation. The rest of this is just, they're just caught in a vortex, and I don't know how you can get them out.
And the problem is, you know, I have to admit, you know, I've been thinking about calling in, doing other things, and, you know, I don't talk to my neighbors all that much about these things, you know, and I should more. And so that is, I think, one of the key things. If everybody does that, it can reach a tidal wave crescendo quickly, but everybody has to do it consistently enough. You know, and I broach the subject now and again, but to tell you the truth, not enough, and I barely have. A couple of my neighbors I haven't even talked to it about. I don't know what their views on anything are, and that's stupid.
I got a question. If you ask your neighbor something and he shows no interest in it or very little interest, how much do you feel it's proper to keep broaching the subject until you're perceived as annoying?
Exactly.
Well, maybe to pause and just throw mine in for a sec, and then David could continue. I was thinking about that. So you just kind of got to use your intuition, feel them out, maybe some small talk, because different neighborhoods are different. Some neighborhoods, you don't even want to talk to your neighbors because you don't know what they're up to. Cars coming and going all night, party till 5 o'clock in the morning, cops coming. Oh, my God. Yeah, I live there. And then you move somewhere else, and everyone's riding bikes, and they got gardens, and they got, like, peace. So it's like you got to kind of like be aware of where they're at and see what you can work with.
Unfortunately, I think some of those people that might be staying up 5 years all that stuff are probably the ones that will buy your argument quicker than the other people a lot of times. And they might be on your side in the end, although they might be doing the illegal things now. But I think that knowing, I don't know, it's hard where to begin on a lot of this stuff, but I think, like you said, a garden. I just got my first tomato plant. I've been eating them now for the last 2 weeks. And stuff like that, like I've got asparagus going and, you know, oranges and apples and just in a small, you know, a small lot, not nothing out in the country or nothing.
Look, my relationship with the neighbors has been bad, okay, just in general. There is no real connection there. I will tell you this, though. I've had a lot of random conversations with strangers, whether they watch the show or not, just having conversations about the world. I will straight up go up on a guy in some sort of a pizza parlor, you know, while I was watching the Olympics, and I'll whisper in his ear, "Do you have any idea what happened on 888? I mean, and then he'll turn to me and go, "He actually did." And the guy ended up being a high up in Merrill Lynch. And then we ended up having a conversation about the manufactured economic collapse. And he shared his perspective. All because I just walked up and just kind of said, "Hey, you know we're in the Matrix?" And I'll do something like that every now and then. And you get kind of a positive thrill from it. Because you end up getting like maybe 5 positive ones out of 10 instead of 1 positive one out of 20. And then you see maybe it's possible some people are shifting around you, their consciousness.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. So I'm going to bring it back to, if I can.
Okay, go ahead.
Alex, if I can bring it back to what I was bringing forward, and maybe this other gentleman can join us in exploring this. You find X amount of people in your daily routine or your weekly routine or your business exploits. You find people who are already understanding the truth. They're tapping into the internet. They're whatever it is, they're reaching the truth. What do we do? How do we harness this positive energy, withdraw it from the negative, overwhelming New World Order oppression, and bring it to a place in our state, in each individual state, and create cities or maybe a county where we can actually flourish?
Well, I'm going to try to do something new for those that are listening in Portland. I'm going to try to have some new signs made up. Other than 9/11 was an inside job, and talk about them staging World War III and getting ready for a crash by design and kind of shock people by holding those signs and walking around spreading that message with a group of about 20 people with a new message for what we're dealing with today and kind of shock them out of that subliminal bombardment, that subliminal trance that's all around them. So that's one
right.
thing that I can think that I'd like to do here in Portland with a few people.
Okay, so what happens when you cultivate this little, you know, you're going to do a little fishing expedition, you're throwing a net out there, you're going to catch some fish. Now what?
We need a place to meet. We need a place for different people to come and start actually having face-to-face discussions off the web. So we need people with the spaces for that. And I even worry about COINTELPRO or anybody coming in and just get people talking. Because there are some people that actually want that. I'll get maybe 20 emails a week asking me where the spot is in Portland to do that, and I don't know where it is. Someone needs to put it up first.
Well, why don't you make it?
Because you can't do everything.
You know, there are bars, there are open halls, there are bookstores. I've done coffee shops before. I used to do a survival group, but it wasn't very feasible when you're talking about.
You know what? I could see state by state, outside the box is the name of your thing, right? I could see in Odessa here, I own a printing business. I could print up flyers and just say, outside the box meets here every week, a certain amount of time. And just get people to come to a coffee shop or there's a pizza place that's across the street from a college, really good meeting hall, meeting place. And, you know, in the evening sometime, the place is quiet after 7 o'clock.
I'm thinking about beautiful pizza on Belmont 35th for anyone listening in Portland. That place has actually had a lot of they used to have conspiracy nights with Ace Hayes back in the 80s. Before the web, there was a guy who used to talk about this stuff, I guess, live. He used to have a group. He talked about underground bases, a wide variety of things. This was back during the Clinton administration. So he was talking about drug running. So we had stuff
Alex,
way back then, and they just went away.
Do you have a show every day?
The guy died, and the group just... Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you have a show every day?
No, this show is just weekly. It's up on the website, the TV show, and then there's this podcast, which is one time weekly.
I mean, how do we make sort of a following for this outside the box program where people would live?
We tell friends. We all tell friends about it. Listen.
I'm sorry,
well, you know, I think a lot of articles need to get written about some of the subjects that we talk about and get it kind of off the air and written down. I don't know about so much following, but I do want to inspire people to get together before the crash because I think it's going to really suck trying to do it afterwards, don't you? I mean, it seems that
it's impossible. It will not happen.
It'll be dangerous, especially for women, and the men will be busy trying to get the food. It'll be nuts.
You know what I think we have to do is you have to figure out what it is that interests each person, their concern and their political array of ideas, and then go at them with that issue and how it's connected to all the other ones. And you can't just fight political, like, you know, prisoners. My brother's serving a three strikes case in California. And if you fight just that, you're not if you fight, it won't work. If you fight just health care or just, you know, the anti-war people want to stay just anti-war. They don't want to think about other issues. And it has to be drawn to people somehow to, and it's no overnight answer, I don't think. It's a daily process of working on people and those you know around you. And you know, I guess moving on for the people that won't accept it and getting as many people as you can. And if once everybody starts doing that, I think we'll get a groundswell. And, you know, I never used to be spiritual leaning at all. And I used to never believe a word of the Bible. And now I've actually come to believe a lot more of that. And not the Bible as it's given to us, not, you know, by the religious institutions we have, but more of a spiritual awakening of people, and there's a lot of knowledge that we all feel but don't act on.
Alex, is there a forum like a Yahoo Groups or something where the people who listen to your show discuss?
No, I haven't started one yet, actually. I've been thinking about that, and I didn't know which one would be the best to go with. If you got my email...
May I do that for you? It would be a pleasure.
Yes, set it up. We'll start a couple topics up.
Would you call Outside the Box Forum, that's all.
And then I'll link to it at alexansary.com. So I'll put a little mini banner there on the left side.
Is there an email?
Sign up, start dialoguing.
You?
Sure.
How do we reach you by email?
People can reach me. I try to get back to who I can. Alex_ansary@hotmail.com. So at the website, just go up there and click on contact. There's also myspace.com. There's also myspace.com/ /Ansary, A-N-S-A-R-Y. So that's the contact info. Yeah, forum I've been thinking about for some time, and also having a discussion about solutions and different spiritual concepts that people are trying to work out, like David's saying, because, you know, a lot of people are kind of scared. They think you talk about some of the stuff. Maybe it's just a bunch of New Age religion manipulation of your mind, as some people say, in the New World Order, anti-New World Order movement. And I think that there's some closed-mindedness into the concept of God and into the concept of demons.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. You know,
guys seen Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
A while ago.
Okay, so you remember that scene where Zool is opening up the portal? Okay, so sometimes I feel like that. Like that's where we live today.
Oh, yeah. When I first started hearing this, I went to the gym the next day after a few weeks of really immersing myself in this and just thought I was in the Matrix. It was really weird watching people watch the football games and the regular BS that goes on every day. And just, you know, it's a slow awakening, I think, even when you're willing to accept this. And that's the trick, you know. It's like, it's a different thing for everybody, I guess, of what it does. But, you know, it's pretty crazy. I have to get up to Portland sometime. I got some friends that live up near there and do some mountain biking and cycling, and have to come up and drop in and see you, Alex. If you're ever down in Santa Barbara, we'll have to get together. I got to get going, though. Good show, and nice talking to you, man.
Okay, all right, we'll talk to you in the future. Yes. I think we're all going to be meeting a lot of people in the future. I see Glenn in Oregon's called in. Hey, Louie, do you have any other things you want to bring up this evening?
Yeah. I'm going to finish up right now. Look for my email, and I'm going to set up this Yahoo groups for a discussion group, and then you know who is on your mailing list, and just invite them in, right?
You know, I haven't even started a mailing list. I've been working so hard at the stuff that I hardly promote my stuff. I talk about it here, and I do it on my show, and I have a website. But other than that, I don't put a single flyer out there because I'm just too busy. I can barely even upload my own shows because I don't have any volunteers. So I got to do all the web work. I'm not even going to get into it, but it's straight work.
Consider, I like what you're doing. I like the spiritual side of it that no one else is really tapping into. So consider you have your first volunteer. How's that?
All right. Thank you, Louie. I'll get back to you then.
Okay, sir. God bless.
All right, so that reminds me of Glenn. He's probably all right. Glenn here. All right, 512-646-1984. Let's get some more phone calls. I know some of you are a little bit shy. You're going, I don't really sound good on the radio. I really don't know what I'm going to say. Well, how are you responding to the information that you've been given? Are you in shock? Have you come out of shock? Have you felt differently in the last month or so? Like, we're not in Kansas any longer. Someone let out the hellhounds. Or maybe it's a spiritual experience where you're just seeing things or take a geometry or whatnot, things you can't even explain. You don't know who to talk to. You can talk to us. Glenn in Oregon, how you doing?
Hi, I'd like to say thank you to Lewis. It's a great idea. Nice time to get together would be on a Wednesday evening, people with some cell phones listening to the program together and generating ideas together and calling them in. Another thing, if you want a forum, there we can create one on the pdx911truth.org site. In fact, I can create one as soon as I get off the phone. It was labeled outside the box. You will need to register on the site. And I then need to approve you. After that, you can participate in that, the outside the box forum or any of the others. And you can also present articles. This is part of the 911truthgroups.org group of sites around the country.
Glenn, real quick, we have a break coming up. I'll hold you over to the other side. I got a couple other calls coming in.
Okay.
Did you want to promo Laughing Horse this Sunday?
I sure would. I'll wait for that. I'll send one to that.
Okay. Yeah, there's some event coming up next week at Laughing Horse, some sort of block party. So if you live in Portland, there's another thing where people are gathering. And when we come back, we'll talk to Dan in Florida and anyone else that actually has an opinion and a voice about something relevant. All that and more when we come back, and maybe we'll cover maybe one or two other pieces of news. Stay with us.
Back to the people. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
Just to go back, I don't bother to promote my own work anymore because it's not really about my work or what I'm doing. I'm freaked out personally by what I'm seeing, what I'm experiencing, what I'm watching go down the world. And I just come on the show and I'm trying to work out my own thoughts just to stay sane. And all it does is bring me joy just to do that because I've been doing it a couple of years, and the people that have found it are the people that need to find it. And the people need to find me or hear this message, they'll find it on their own. And that's just my whole attitude. In the end of story, I don't have time for any of that. I'm not trying to be a star. I'm not going to be walking around with a suit one day laughing at people thinking, oh, where are you going to go from here? There's nowhere to go from here. The country's going down. Let's use my voice on any vehicle mechanism I can, access TV and through the web, to as many people as I can, as you know, until it's done. It's over, and we're there. And that's all I have to say about that. All right, Glenn, go back to the Laughing Horse thing, and I'm trying to think. I think there's another event coming up soon. I don't know.
You will definitely see a bunch of 9/11 truthers, as well as people who may not be yet but would be receptive at the block party street fair that Laughing Horse books in Portland, Oregon, at 12 Northeast 10th Avenue. Just off East Burnside, is having this Sunday, August the 24th, starts about 1 in the afternoon, and will go until a little after dark so we can show some films on the walls of the buildings around there. There will be at least one rather well-known video Google person. Actually, it's a couple. It's Bob Coons and his wife, Fern Abbott, who plays a character called Ms. V, wearing the...
Right. Just Google Ms. V in YouTube video, and she's dressed up like the V character, and... Yeah.
With Rosie.
Yeah, I saw her actually at James Gillen's ranch. I saw her up there when I went. I bump into her at a lot of places.
Well, if you go to the site, pdx911truth.org, and go down the second column to Laughing Horse Street Fair, you can watch the video from... last summer, last August, which starts out with some stuff about false flag, as well as a lot of rather sophisticated perspectives on things related to 9/11 and New World Order, and getting into some spiritual stuff sometimes.
Most of the audience, though, Glenn, doesn't live in Portland, so, okay, I guess that's all we can do for the promo there.
Okay, well, that's fine. But anyway, you'll be able to see it on YouTube, and there is a forum on the website now. There is a forum on the website now for Outside the Box Alexander, if anybody wants to use it. Thank you.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
I'll go ahead and try to take. Send me a link, and I'll try to take a look at that.
I'll send you an email now. Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Glenn. And, I'll see you Sunday. And Dan in Florida, how you doing?
Good evening. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Yeah, you got to keep your chin up. It's not this is not something that, you know, these people... They have spent their families and their fortunes investing in. They're not about to just, quit because we're waking up. They're in this for the long haul, and they're in this till death do they part. So I wouldn't expect these people to just give up so quickly, you know.
No one, not me ever, is suggesting that. Quite the contrary. Whereas I see a stage World War III conflict where China's getting ready to step into our country. And so I'm talking about surviving while that stuff's going on so we don't, you know, fall into the abyss of madness and take part in it ourselves and try to really, like, figure out, like, why we're even here. So I think there's also something big about that that can't be overlooked. That's all.
Yeah, and I think we will attract more bees to honey when we meet people's needs. And what I mean by that, I'll give you an example. I went into a local Starbucks, and I sat down, and I looked down, and here was a new World Order group who was a team. Sorry, there's someone with a Harley Davidson. There was a group that were wanting to create a group, and they were advertising for it. And talking about living a healthy diet, and it said eating right in the new world order. And I thought that's genius because you're meeting the people's needs, and that's what we need to do. And if you want to talk about Christianity, talk about Christ, he was definitely meeting people's needs. And when you go to a church, most people gravitate toward church because they have a need that needs to be met, and they look toward the church to do that on some level, whether it be financial, food, just spiritual prayer and guidance. And when we do that as a 9/11 truth community, we are, in very essence, being like Christ. And these people, they're going to have needs when everything crashes. They're going to have major needs, and they're going to want answers. And the answers that we have for them, they're not going to like. They're not going to like it the least bit. They're going to kick. They're going to scream. And, you know, you've just got to drag them along. And people that I've been talking to, refuse to believe what I'm telling them. And they laugh at me and they're cynical toward me. But, you know, it's that mustard seed. It's the split seed in the garden. But that seed grows to be the biggest tree in the garden. And the birds come and they nest in it. And when we just tell them a little bit about what's going on, it's there, whether they like it or not, and they can laugh at it, they can ignore it, but it's there. And as, you know, the media flips back and forth, you know, trying to distort, trying to keep people off balance, off kilter, our truth always remains an even keel. And it will ultimately... I see the people who have been laughing at me and have been scoffing at me. I start to hear them reverberate my words in some belief, and that they're slowly starting to wake up. And when you meet their needs like that, and you just plant that seed, spread the word, and just, Aaron Russo's movie, it wakes them up. I got fired from a job.
They see somebody getting the living daylights beat out of them by a cop on the street. They start thinking about the police state stuff I was telling them, about the stuff that was spread around the country, how things just, you know, it's not such a big deal anymore in today's society. And they start seeing that and feeling that and seeing the cameras go up, and they start going, because it goes along with what you're saying. People cannot unhear something once they've heard it.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's the mustard seed that we must, as planters and as harvesters, we're better than the Jehovah Witnesses.
I think we are the watchmen. We are the watchmen. We have to just admit that.
We are. We are. We are the, we are, we are the gatekeepers and the keymasters. And we're letting people know, hey, this is screwy. You know, and I constantly talk to police, constantly. And I spoke with one, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, and I asked him, I said, hey, have you heard anything about police getting inoculated? He looked at me, and he realized who I was because all the police in my area, I've been giving them a stern warning about what's coming. And they to them, or that maybe I'm gonna go or something. But and he laughed at me, and he made a few jokes. I hear the music, and he made a few jokes to the guy standing next to him. But ultimately, that will be in the back of his head, in his subconscious, even when he sleeps.
Thank you, Dan, for your call.
Take care, man.
All right. It gets deeper and deeper. This is interesting. We're not done yet.
Uncover the Truth with Catherine Albright, live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Monday to Friday, right here on We the People Radio Network.
The show, we're going to go over a couple other pieces of news and take some of your phone calls at 512-646-1984, and there's been some interesting phone calls coming in tonight. All right, write down the website, alexansary.com. There's some information there. I'm going to try to add some new information in the future, some additional even audio blogs. That may take me a couple days, but the quality will be better because it won't be as compressed. As you hear it on the WTPN archives, but sometimes you can't catch the show at WTPN, or you don't want to hear the full 60 minutes, so maybe there'll be some stuff that's just 5 minutes in length as you listen to some of the other shows on the network. And I want to say that, I don't know where I'm going with this. There's just so much going on. Desperate people in Haiti eating mud. India's poor, urged to eat rats. Another U.S. puppet government. Yeah, India's about to get involved with Pakistan, too. Pakistan, Musharraf, he's down. He's out. He's resigned. They've used him as long as they could. It's done. It's over. And so there are some rumors that some of the Muslims are going to get some more power in that region, some of the tribal regions, some of the people outside of Musharraf's control. But, you know, he was engaged in bringing martial law on his own people. And so maybe there's a lot of people that have been suppressed that may have a chance to change something. But here we are talking about people changing things in their own country, where really what we're seeing is a global plot to really mess things up and create a never-ending state of chaos. So we could talk about Pakistani politics and U.S. politics and Russian politics, what's going on in the EU. And then it just gets to be overwhelming because there's a bigger picture above all of that. You know, you get numb to it. You get numb to all the little reports about people dying in Iraq and, you know, another attack on another Afghan village. You know, you get numb to it over time. And you just want to even get larger because there's so much information bombarding us. You want to know really what's going on. Okay, the police state stuff here and it's all the cameras. And the videos just get worse and worse and worse. I mean, it's damaging. You watch a 80-year-old woman getting kneed by a cop. You know, there's this video I saw recently where this cop was attacking her, and there's some other police state videos. They're just, you know, the black guy in New York City that was handcuffed, beat repeatedly. I mean, that looked worse than Rodney King. That was really, really bad. And you look at a world where people just ignore that, don't do anything about that, you know, just accept that on a deep, profound, slave, subconscious level that they don't admit. It bothers you. Then you want to look even higher. Why is it happening? I mean, why are people acting so violently? I mean, you take a close look, and it's sometimes it's just because a violent person who's a cop and they have found a way to control someone else and abuse someone else so they can feel well. So they can feel there's somebody. There ain't nobody telling them that this is what you have to do or we want you to attack that person. They just kind of let their little beast out. There's a lot of stories about police raping women and things that went on in the penitentiary and are going on. People don't know about a lot of torture that's done there and the dehumanization, the racism, bringing you down to the level of an animal. You know, the whole plan is to keep people in that state of chaos so they don't exit the system. Now, we all know this now. People, I mean, the most basic fundamental problems in our society, they just can't address. So they're going to have to if they want to survive. Otherwise, they won't. Because, you see, when we talk about things shifting quickly, they're going to have to make a choice. You know, there's the food over there with the people, and they're kind of connected in a, how do I, you know, then you got to really use caution. Because a lot of people come around that won't take advantage of you that didn't get prepared themselves. You might want to have some extra food somewhere else other than your main location, lest you get robbed. Maybe something buried somewhere. So we've got to be prepared for all kinds of things, but we've got to understand that we don't know fully what's going to happen. We just know something's going to happen. We're on the verge of it. We're literally looking over the cliff, holding on, you know? About to go over the edge, on the edge of our seats, while they throw us nightmare after nightmare after nightmare in the media to keep people dazed and confused. And I'm disgusted by the amount of gore and filth and blood that they seem to be throwing at people on some of these message boards, some of these places on the web, on the television set, the themes on the radio, the lyrics and the songs. It's totally insane. You know, it reminds me of George Orwell. You know, they talked about Winston being in a situation where his programming is to accept that 2 plus 2 equals 5 when he knows 2 plus 2 equals 4. But it doesn't matter that you know that. You just have to alter your beliefs to accept what they want you to believe, that it does, in fact, equal 5, that these things are here for our freedom, that genetically modified food is going to feed the world instead of create a food famine. You know, all these backwards types of programs that are running out there. You know, in terms of mind control and the stuff that Nick Begich looks at, you know, you got to admit, it's a lot of stuff on our computers that we don't know are there. They're just there from surfing, going different places, these different cookies. And they could be there on your computer for a long, long time, maybe sometimes tracking information on your computer. Now, you take a look at the complex human brain, and you see things in your life that may have certain themes, maybe certain symbols, certain rituals that have been played out in cartoons, in movies, sometimes in concerts. They kind of, over time, paint a picture that has an effect on your subconscious. Some of the stuff that you've seen hit you so fast, you didn't even know it was there. Freeze frame. You zoom in. And this is the stuff that people can't even comprehend. Once it's exposed that it's there, that there is something wrong going on, the manipulation of people's minds, for a long, long, long time. And we're not just talking about the 70s or the 80s. There's a lot of stuff that kicked off then with a lot more people watching the television set. But going way back into teaching people how to smoke, women how to smoke cigarettes in newspapers. Ooh, look, it's glamorous. Another Orwellian nightmare. Oh, something that's going to kill you is actually something that makes you sexy. And there's lots of other games they've been playing. But it goes back hundreds of years. The understanding of behavioral science, and it's increasing exponentially. So I remember being 8 years old, back at the farm, thinking of a brave new world walking amongst supercomputers that were reading people's minds. And their thoughts were projected in color on a TV set. That's the kind of stuff that entered my mind randomly when I was 8 years old. And I start looking at the world today, and you feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck. You know, I want to tell you something really strange. because a lot of weird characters out there in our world trying to usher in a surveillance grid, calling it a beautiful, beautiful world of happiness and joy and spirituality. Sylvia Brown is what I'm talking about. She just wrote a book called Secret Societies. She wrote another book called End of Days. Let me tell you what she wrote about on page 202. Not that I bought her book. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? But I saw it at a bookstore. I grabbed it. End of Days. Oh, let's see what Sylvia Brown is talking about. You know, she talks about 2012 and all this stuff. I just want to see her take on it. By the year 2015, a world of everyone hooked together through brain chips, face scans, fingerprint databases, everything global. She gives a name for this new system. I forget the name of it. It starts with an S. Deadline 2015. It's wonderful. No more kidnappings. We're going to start, you know. Should I pause for a laugh break? Cancer being cured by 2010. All these new discoveries. But a big theme with brain chips and enhancing our potential, kind of becoming superhuman-like. Sylvia Brown is pitching us transhumanism in her new book, End of Days, on page 202. So you see these characters out there that have no clue. Well, maybe she does have a clue. A lot of them don't. The danger we're in from the police state control grid, from the cameras they're putting up. They just don't understand the evil. They laugh and say, well, that sounds like a movie. And because it's in a movie, it can't be real. All right, we'll be back after this quick break. And we have time for another phone call or two at 512-646-1984. Website is alexansary.com. year. Largest naval deployment since 1991 heads for the Persian Gulf. And, again, yeah, major warships making their way towards the Gulf and what observers are calling a unprecedented buildup, while Kuwait has activated its highest war alert in anticipation of a potential attack on Iran. Meanwhile, there's a Cold War at the Arctic as the U.S. sends a ship to claim riches under the ocean. They had some war games they were planning with Russia. They scrapped those because of the tensions in Georgia. Musharraf has resigned as the president of Pakistan. And, of course, there's the issue with Georgia. Major tensions, apparently, what I'm seeing with the U.N. right now. We told you about the shield in Poland. It's getting big. Technology. Brain will be battlefield of the future. You know where we're going with that. They're talking about mind weapons here. There's some reports about CERN. Super Collider began last weekend. Super Collider testing. And some other things. Army moves ahead with mobile laser cannon. Okay, so let me go ahead and just... Okay, I'll look at this one. Apparently this truck... It's 35 tons. Okay, got a laser cannon on top of it. Boeing... got a $36 million contract to continue developing a truck-mounted high-energy laser weapon system that will destroy rockets, artillery shells, and mortar rounds. All right. Low-power demonstrations are scheduled for 2010, with battlefield-strength laser tests to follow in 2013. About a year ago, the Army asked Boeing and Northrop Grumman to work up... Oh, God, these people are demons. They're demons. These who runs these companies? Do they? I mean, do they really drink blood at night? Is it not just a conspiracy theory? Because it seems like they do through the world that they've tried to create for themselves, where they rule as gods. Who are these companies, man? I mean, I've had a lot of different takes on that. Anyway, they're working on it, and they're just making a whole lot of money. And the sicker reality is. When Georgia brought in martial law back last year, they had the pain ray run through the streets. That was made in Northern California. Holy wow. So all these like different devices are made like in our backyard by people that like are programmed in these universities to develop this technology and use it on their fellow brothers and sisters that are like have been kind of ushered into a hell on earth scenario. But, you know, I do wonder kind of what's really going on, and I don't know if very many people have a good grasp on that. But I think it's bigger than what a lot of us can comprehend. You know, I've got nothing to say about Obama that I haven't already said in the past. I think at this point we need to spend less time looking at McCain, Obama, these puppets that are they're going, look over here, look over here. Well, the fist with the brass knuckles straight up knocks us out on the right side of the head because we were looking at the wrong thing. The boxer was kind of moving down in, thinking he was going to jab your stomach when, you know, he came in with the other hand. They're kind of doing that with this Georgian crisis, too, to distract us from the economy. When we went to war, you know, started that little situation there. On actually the 7th of August, moving into 888, first day of the Olympics. Yeah, it's just... They brought that in there, 1,500 Russian people dead in South Ossetia, the hands of the U.S. government. All right, we're going to cover one last report. NYPD's Operation Sentinel to track everything. And I'm actually covering less news than I have in the past because it is so overwhelming. But here's something different. And I put this on my side as well. I kind of left it up here. Okay, well, make of it what you will. This is going to appease some of you Terrence McKenna fans. According to Reuters, studies show spiritual effects of mushrooms last a year. But there are many people that will challenge that claim and will say that it, in fact, is a hell of a lot longer than a year. And they talk about this. This is actually a CNN video where they did a controlled experiment in a laboratory. The spiritual effects on mushrooms. so mainstream America can learn about it through this multi-billion-dollar industry, which makes it kind of look like a sideshow attraction, kind of like going to the circus. And we're talking about something that people have used for thousands of thousands of thousands of years before our modern civilization, and it aided their own evolution. And some allege their ability to hunt in the dark of night. And a couple of other things that were different in the male-female relationship back then in early tribal times. So there's a lot of stuff that has been put into our society that is there to keep you from exploring the boundaries of your minds. And that's truly all about fear. Fear of doing the wrong thing, of disappointing someone. We have 2 minutes left, and we have Augie, who called in from Oregon. We're going to take her call before we go off the air here in just a minute. Good evening.
Good evening, Alex. Hey, I just had one quick question for you tonight. I'm really interested in that guy Hans Gallant, or I don't know how you say his name, something like that. But does he? Can you hear me?
I didn't hear the name that you said.
Okay, I'm getting some reverb here with my cell phone. Darn it. Okay, does that guy, how do you say his name? Mr. Gallant, I believe.
Were we talking about him today?
I think you mentioned him earlier in the show. I don't know.
David Wilcox was mentioned. David Wilcox, okay. Leon LeGaunt. I mentioned David Eichwein. Bruce Lipton.
Leon LeGaunt.
Yes.
Anyway, does he have, like, I know he's having those dreams of like the invasion, the Chinese invasion on.
He just sent me a whole bunch of files telling me I'm the second person to receive it, and I haven't got there yet. But it's a culmination of all of his visions, and I haven't read them yet. But I'm going to read them a little bit later tonight.
Okay, I was just going to ask you if he has like any idea about when this might be taking place. I mean,
he's really freaking out now and leaving California for New Zealand. As soon as he can, and he thinks definitely in the next year for sure, but most especially he's picking up on an economic fall real soon here in the next couple months, and something very bad happening in California. So that's where he's at. But he's also coming from a place where, and I want to thank you for your call, Augie. Watch the show tomorrow, and we'll continue this. He's also coming from a place where he's so traumatized by the news that he won't look at the facts that we started the war. Russia. I'm not being down on him, but I'm saying he's looking at this definitely from Russia emerging from this, an anti-Christ-like energy, where he's telling me that he doesn't even believe that Putin is human, that something very bad is going to take place, and they're all playing a game together on us, and we're going to see some major stuff in the Midwest in the next couple of years. And that is his message, and we're going to have that video probably online by the weekend. And we're also going to talk about some spiritual discussions as well.
Yeah, should be.
We'll be back next week, next Wednesday, 8 o'clock Pacific time.